Acts chapter 26, verse 2. Hey, I caught this. There's a young man that preaches on TV, and I got this from him. I was flipping through the channels one day and seen it. I'm going to say some things, and I want you to repeat it back. Kind of a good-looking guy, one of those, you know, the preachers on TV, kind of trim and lean and good-looking and all that stuff. But I really liked it when he said this. You got your Bible in your hand. With your Bible in your hand, repeat after me. In my hand, I hold my Bible. God's holy word. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Holy Spirit, I ask you to make me receptive. This morning I'll be taught the word of God. Open my mind and teach me. So when I leave here, I'll never be the same. Acts chapter 26 and verse 2, the Bible says this. The Bible says, I think myself happy. Let's pray. God, I love you. God, I praise you. God, I thank you for being so good to us this morning. God, I just ask for a little while this morning, Lord, that you'd give us liberty as we preach. God, no doubt, the Holy Spirit has already been here. You have touched and you have blessed. But God, I just ask that you'd use me any way that you can. Lord, no doubt, many of us this morning have been blessed. God, you do make us happy. I thank you, God, for all the good things in my life. No doubt they've come from you. I love you. I praise you. And I bless your holy name. We thank you, God. Amen. You may be seated. Hey, I think myself happy. You know, there is a verse in the Bible, and I was got to thinking about it just as I was praying. There is a verse in the Bible that says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I think myself happy. Hey, the book of Acts, there's a few things that come to my mind any time that I look into the book of Acts. First of all, we know Luke is the author. The Bible says not many wise were called, but Luke very well was probably one of the exceptions and that to this rule. Hey, I don't do this a whole lot, but me and Barry were talking the other day, and we were talking about your pastor. And I told him that same thing. I said, you know, the Bible does say not many wise were called. But I said, there's a good chance that Cal Ray perhaps was an exception unto that verse. Luke could also have been an exception to that verse. Hey, there was something that I read some time ago. There was a gentleman back in the turn of the century named Sir William Ramsay that set out to prove that the Bible was a lie. And here's what he thought. He thought that if he would study the Word of God and find different contradictions in it, that he could prove that the Bible was false. I agree. If he could take the Bible and do that, I would have to agree with him. He thought because of the book of Acts and all the terms and things that it used, that that would be a great place to start. The story goes that Sir William Ramsay took the book of Acts. He studied it from cover to cover, couldn't find any contradictions in it anywhere. He then, because Luke was the author, turned his attention to the Gospel of Luke. After he studied it for a while, the Holy Spirit started dealing with him. He became saved and became a great man and a great worker, and that for God. I say today, even though that happened over 100 years ago, there's no book like this book that come from God today, God's holy word. Hey, the book of Acts. Hey, without the book of Acts, if you went from the Gospels to the Epistles, they would be quite hard to understand. It's almost like all the Gospels just kind of funnel in to the book of Acts and they're dispensed from there. Hey, you know the very last fact that is talked about in the book of Matthew? It deals with the resurrection. And you can go to Acts chapter 1, and it deals with the resurrection. In Mark, it's the ascension, and you'll see that covered in Acts chapter 1. In Luke, it's the coming of the Holy Spirit. That also is dealt with in Acts chapter 1. In John, the last recorded fact is the second coming. And in Acts chapter 1, it deals with this also. Hey, the book of Acts, it records the birth and that of the church. Hey, I'm telling you today, I don't believe there's any institution in the entire world and that like the church. I love the church today. Don't think there's anything like it. Can't think of any other place in this world where it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, whether you're red, yellow, black, or white, whether you're very intelligent or on the other end of the spectrum. I can't think of any organization in the world today and that like the church today. Hey, the theme of the book of Acts, you can find it in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And it says this, says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Hey, I'm glad today, too, that we serve a God today that is full of power. I'm glad today that His people are not a powerless people. He said this in chapter 1 and verse 8, that we should receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us, and we should be witnesses. Hey, you know the book of Acts? It actually divides by that very verse. You can take chapters 1 through 7, and you will see the Acts of the Apostles as they are moved by the Holy Ghost throughout Jerusalem. In chapters 8 through 12, you'll see the Acts of the Apostles as they are recorded, as they are moved throughout Judea and Samaria. Throughout the remainder of the book, you will see the Acts of the disciples as they are moved by the Holy Ghost to the uttermost parts and that of the earth. Hey, this book, it ends up with Paul sitting in a prison cell in Rome. But I am under this assumption today. I don't believe the book of Acts is completed yet. And here is why. I believe that somewhere out there in the heavens above, that there's an angel somewhere recording the acts of you and I as we are moved by the Holy Spirit, that we'll stand before God one day and give an account in our lives. You see, about 15 years ago, my sins were forgiven at an old altar in a little bit of country church in Plant City, Florida. But there's coming a time when I'll stand before God and I'll give an account of what I did with Jesus Christ and what kind of witness that I was after that I received Him in my heart. And you will too today. Hey, I think myself happy. I don't know about y'all. I like happy people. I like how they walk and I like how they talk and I like how they smile. I like everything about them. Hey, in the scripture that I have just read to you, here is what is taking place. Hey, Paul is a central character throughout half of the book of Acts. He's now sitting in a prison cell. He's been there for almost 2 years. Hey, this is a man that has been beat. This is a man that has been in prison. This is a man that all of these things happened to him for preaching the gospel and that of Jesus Christ. Hey, can you imagine sitting in a jail cell for some 2 years because of your stance and that with Jesus Christ? Hey, when I think about this scripture and I look at it, I want you to understand what is happening at this time. Hey, you can go back to Acts chapter 25 and verse 23 and get somewhat of a clearer picture. Here's what it says. It says, "On the morrow when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city, as Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth." Paul had been in jail now for 2 years. He was there for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What had happened? Agrippa had come to visit Festus. And after he had been there for a while, Festus just thought of something. He said, "Hey, Agrippa, I got a prisoner that's been sitting down here in a jail cell for about 2 years. Maybe you can help me decide what I should do to him." Hey, in the scripture, look what it says. It says Agrippa and Bernice, they come into the hall with great pomp and pageantry. I've thought about that over time in my mind, and I can almost imagine this. Can you see King Agrippa and Bernice as they walk into the judgment hall? It says with great pomp. I can hear the crowds as they probably stand and they applaud as King Agrippa and Bernice come into the hall that day. You know, a study of God's Word, you'll find that these are two of some of the most wicked people that ever graced the pages and that of the Bible. But I can see the crowds as they come in that day where they applauded. I can hear them yell, "Long live the King." I can hear them say, "Hail Caesar," as they clap and they cheered. In a little while, Festus would stand to his feet and he would silence the crowd. He would motion back to probably a door at the end of the hall to bring the prisoner in. I can see Paul, the way I understand it, he was probably a small man in stature. I can see him in handcuffs, maybe even shackles, as they brought him in. I can see his clothes, perhaps tattered, him dirty. I can hear the crowds laugh and sneer at him as he stands there before the king. Ah, what a contrast that you have. Here you have King Agrippa, but he's a prisoner, and that's a sin. There you have Paul. He's in prisoner's guards and chains, but he's been free and made free by the blood and that of Jesus Christ. In a little while, Festus will silence the crowd. King Agrippa stands up and he speaks. He tells Paul this. He says, "I'm going to allow you to speak for yourself. Don't forget, 2 years he's been in prison." And he utters probably the four most unlikely words anyone could ever utter. "King Agrippa, I think myself happy." Can you imagine? "I think myself happy." Hey, after I read that, and after I studied that for a while, I got to looking and thinking, and got to thinking about a few reasons why I think Paul, even in the midst of all those problems, can still think himself happy. Hey, you know the first thing that come to my mind? I think Paul could think himself happy because he was over old, dead, dried up religion. You know it? Now, Paul had been in church all his life. Paul knew the scriptures backwards and forwards. And I'm sure he probably never missed a church service. But you see, Paul got over all that dead, dried up religion. You see, Paul had something that happened to him down on the road to Damascus that left him with a relationship and that with Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, folks, I know we're not supposed to go on feelings a lot, but let me tell you something. I sure am glad that I can't feel him a lot this morning. And I know it's faith. But I tell you what, I wouldn't give you a nickel for your religion where you can't feel him every once in a while. Had somebody once too talk about emotions and stuff and say that we were kind of emotionless. And I tell you what, somebody dying on a cross and saving you from your sins, never to bring them up again, that's kind of an emotional matter to me if you get to thinking about it. Cal was talking about the preacher, young preacher, telling him something. Hey, I can remember a story too, it came to my mind. My church, when I first started preaching, they had this preaching conference, and they was going to teach folks how to preach a little better. And I was thinking, man, if anybody needs to learn how to preach better, it's me. I'm going to go down to this conference. And I went down to this conference, and I was all for getting some tips. Man, they had this one young fella come in there. Man, he was young. Man, he was good looking. He was trim. Man, just looked good. Looked like a preacher ought to look, you know what I mean? I was sitting there looking at him. I mean, he's a good-looking dude, you know. And he got up there and he said this. I'll never forget it. I probably shared it with you before. Never forget it. He got up and he said, let me tell you something. He said, the day of these hollering and hacking preachers is over. I was sitting there thinking, oh my goodness. Nobody told me. You know what? I was the first preacher. I was the first preacher that I ever knew that didn't hack. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know, you know, that what y'all hacks a little bit, you know? Jesus is coming back. You know what I'm talking about? I was the first preacher that I ever met that didn't hack. And when God called me to preach, I said, God, I'll preach. I just don't want to hack, you know? I just don't want to hack. Well, this guy got up there and he sat there. She said, man, the day of these hollering and hacking preachers, man, is over. Hey, my daddy, God bless him, he still ain't sure if I've been called to preach because I don't hack. He thinks you're supposed to hack. Hey, isn't that crazy? I'm so glad today. I'm so glad. About 15 years ago, like Paul, I got over that old dead, dried up religion. I'm so glad that I've got something down in my soul that'll just stir you up just a little bit. And I tell you what, that will make you happy today. Hey, you know where my favorite place to go? Man, my favorite place to go is church.
Amen.
Man, I love the church. Done told you about the church. Ain't no place I'd rather be than the church today. Hey, this year the Marlins made it to the World Series. Oh, and I ain't got nothing against baseball, just not a real big baseball fan. But I always wanted to go to World Series. Then somebody come up and said, Brother Eddie, I can get you some tickets. So we think we might have to get them on Wednesday night. I said, Brother, I can't go Wednesday night. I got church on Wednesday night. And they got to go to church. You know, I did get to go on Thursday night. I did get to go. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't miss church to go to World Series. Man, I can't wait to get to church. And let me tell you something I found in my life, too. When I do feel bad and don't feel like going on, something about just going to church. Man, just makes it better. Hey, I tell you what, you get over that old dead, dried up religion. Just cut loose every once in a while. Let your hair down. That'll make you happy today. Hey, I tell you something else that made Paul happy. Hey, you ever get to studying about the life of Paul? Every time you turn around, that rascal was telling folks about the day he got saved. Hey, he never got over it. That'll make you happy about the day you got saved. Hey, think about it. Every time he goes somewhere and Paul, there Paul goes. Hey, one day I was on my way to Damascus. I was going to persecute some Christians. Hey, there's this bright light shone, knocked me down clean to the ground. I heard this voice out of heaven. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Lord, is that you? Man, he accepted Jesus Christ. Hey, you go in a few more chapters in the book of Acts. Somebody else talking to Paul. What happened to you, Paul? Hey, one day I was on my way to Damascus. Hey, this bright light shone down, knocked me plumb off my horse. I heard this voice out of heaven, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I tell you one of the reasons Paul was happy, he didn't ever get over being saved. Hey, listen, I ever tell you about the day I got saved? I was in a little bitty church in Plant City, Florida. The Holy Ghost started dealing with me that day. He washed my sins away, never to bring them up again. And let me tell you something, I ain't ever got over. And every time I think about it, it makes me happy today. Hey, you get to thinking about God saving you. Man, that'll make you happy. Think about that. Hey, man, we ought to be the happiest people in the world. Hey, listen, I know we go through it. Hey, we got our troubles and trials. We got our battles. Hey, but even in the midst of all of that, we're still God's children.
Amen.
You think about that. Still God's children. Hey, we got these boys that live with us now. Let me tell you what. We got a little 3-year-old boy that lived with us. He was born addicted to cocaine. He's black. Lives with us. I got 22-year-old girls, daughters, good kids, very fortunate, always did good. Love the church, love their daddy, just very fortunate. A 3-year-old little black boy lives at the house, born addicted to crack. Christy or Misty can say something, Sharon, and say, "Hey, Mom," and he'll say, "That's my mom." It's his house. 3 years old, crack addicted, black as a piece of coal. It's my house, that's my mom, that's my dad. It's my car. He's been adopted into the family. Yeah. Hey, we go in Walmart. Walmart, people be coming by. He'll just tell folks. He'll point at Sharon and go, "Hey, that's my mama." My parents come from the old school. You know what I mean? My mom asked me, she goes, "What do you reckon people think? Y'all go out shopping, got these black kids and everything else. They calling y'all mom and dad." And I said, "I don't know. I ain't never thought about it much, you know." You know, God had to prepare me for 10 years for that anyway. Hey, he's family. You know what I'm saying? Hey, listen, come on, folks. Even when we're going through hard times and difficulty, you're still God's child. That's my mama. That's my daddy. Hey, that house we're building down there, after nursery school, he'd get out of nursery school. First thing he'd tell Sharon, he wouldn't go see his house. His house. Hey, listen, we're building a 3,200 square foot house to take care of crack addicted babies. Hey, he ain't worried about what he was born into. You know what I mean? We were in the church one night and somebody stood up and was talking about us having black kids, and he looked at Sharon and he goes, "I ain't black." You know what I mean? We had to explain to the poor kid, "Yeah, you're black, but it's okay." You know what I mean? He's in the family. Hey, you think about that for a while. Let me tell you what, that will make you happy today. Hey, listen, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Don't mean God's dividing up everything and splitting it. It means we're sharing it. That's what it means. A joint heir with Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something else to make Paul happy? I'm going to blow some of y'all's minds. I'm going to preach shorter than I ever had this morning. I've got about 10 more minutes. Some of y'all brought snacks, didn't you? Hey, you know what else made Paul happy? Paul was happy because he understood the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that's what he was counting on. Let me cover a few things too. Hey, you know what Paul also said this? Paul said he knew how to be happy in any circumstance. He said, "I know how to abound when I'm doing good. I know how to be happy when I'm doing bad." Hey, don't forget, it was Paul and Silas in the prison cell back in Philippi. Hey, what did they do? They didn't cry the blues and all that. They started praising God and lifting up the name of God. And they, you know, that's what they started doing. Hey, listen. Their praise changed their circumstance. You hear me? Anybody can praise God when everything's good. Hey, but when it's not good, when things are falling apart a little bit, when you stand there and say, "God, I know you're going to take care of this because you've always taken care of me." Hey, don't forget, it was Paul that wrote, "All things work together for good for them that love God." Hey, ain't that enough to make you happy? Oh, hey, just talking to some of the folks in the church, some of y'all going through different things. I don't care what it is you're going through. God said he would take it and make it work for your good. You think about that. Man, that's enough to make you want to dance. That's enough to make you happy. Hey, you know what me and Mrs. Hicks have found? Me and Mrs. Hicks have found the toughest things that ever happened to us, now, later, were the best things that ever happened to us. Hey, some things we brought on ourselves. We did it. But our Heavenly Father took it and He moved it to where later on it would work out for good. That don't mean you're not going to have to take a little discipline. That don't mean there's not going to be a little heartache and some hurt with it. Because sometimes we got to have that to learn. You know what I mean? But He said, I'll take this and I'll work it out for your good. If you love me, that's what I'll do. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy today. Death and resurrection. I tell you what, one of the reasons Paul was happy is he understood the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why he was happy. Hey, don't forget, Paul, before he was saved, what did he do? Paul persecuted the church. Paul didn't deserve to be a preacher of the gospel. Paul should have been killed somewhere. Paul persecuted the church. He put Christians to death. The church world was afraid of Paul. Paul would come. You'd be in a church service. I guarantee you people would say, hey, that guy Paul, he's up the road about 100 miles. I heard back at the first church or whatever, he come in there and drug about 20 of them out the other night. Sent them to prison. Hey, but Paul understood what Jesus Christ did for him on Calvary. Hey, listen, this will make you happy. Jesus Christ's death on Calvary. Jesus Christ died one of the most horrible deaths anyone ever experienced. The Bible says this, that His visage was marred more than any man. That means that Jesus Christ's face was beaten more than any man's. What do you mean? His face was just torn to pieces. Hey, remember the night before? They would beat him. They mocked him. They laughed at him. Said that they would blindfold him and hit him right in the face. If you're who you say you are, tell us who hit you. They made a mockery out of him. Hey, the next day, they beat him. They whipped him over and over. The Bible says that it was like a plow was run up and down his back. Hey, here you have Jesus Christ, His face beaten, unrecognizable, His back laid open with a whip over and over again. Then they nailed Him on a cross between two thieves, walked by Him, laughed at Him, spit on Him, and mocked Him. And you want to know why? He was getting what you and I deserved. That's why. They couldn't just take Him out. Come on. He was getting, He had to pay the price for sin. I had a young preacher come to my church one time and he was kind of inexperienced. And he stood up and he was preaching and he meant well. And he was preaching and he said, you know, Jesus died before the other two did. And he said, well, Jesus died because God looked down and had compassion and took Him out first. I took Him aside, son. Don't you remember? My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? You want to know what happened? God looked down and He seen every disgusting, vile act you and I ever committed. And it made Him sick. Hey, Paul could think himself happy because he knew Jesus Christ paid the price for his sins. Hey, I'm telling you, some of y'all right now, I've had people come at me and say, Brother Eddie, you don't understand what I've done. I don't care what you've done. I know what he did. He paid the price for mine and your sins. Hey, Paul could also think himself happy for this reason. He understood the resurrection. He understood. Hey, you know what kept me from being saved for so long? What kept me from being saved for so long is the devil would taunt me with, you can't live it. And why would I think I could live it? Why? I couldn't make a complete sentence without filth coming out of my mouth. My mind was so polluted with everything that, you know, why? He would taunt me, you can't live it. And I can remember sitting in a church before and wouldn't make that move. I would believe what was being said, but the devil would say, you can't live it. You can't do it. You can't do it. Paul was happy because he understood the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hey, you know what the resurrection does for me and you? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is why I'm saved today. It's why I'm saved. Hey, listen. I still, like you, struggle. I still, like you and like Paul in Acts chapter 7, God, how come I said I would never do this again and there it is again? You know, hey, how many times have you made up your mind, Lord, this is never going to happen again? And then somewhere down the road, there it happened again. And you're like, you didn't mean for that to happen. You were sincere with that not happening. But see, Paul understood what the resurrection of Jesus Christ was all about. It'll make you happy.
Amen.
Oh, I'm sure I've told this story. I remember when I first got saved, I was saved. I believed Jesus Christ, accepted Him as my Savior. But I'm telling you, for 5 or 6 months, I walked around and was so afraid that I was going to lose it. I was going to mess it up. After all, I lost and messed everything up in my life. But I didn't understand the resurrection of Jesus. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand. I thought it had something to do with me. I didn't know. I remember I was in church, been there for 5, 6 months. A little old lady from West Virginia was in church. And as the service was going, she started blessing the name of Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. Holy Spirit falls down. And I'll never forget that day Holy Spirit speaking to me. Eddie Hicks, you got saved 5 months ago, 6 months ago because of me. Eddie Hicks, you're saved right now because of me. And Eddie Hicks, you're going to heaven because of me. It's because of me. See, Paul understood the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Man, that'll make you happy. It'll make you happy. Hey, it was old Lester Roloff I heard say this one time. He was saying, if I'm Jesus Christ is in me, and I'm in Jesus Christ, if Jesus is all right, I'm going to be all right. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Hey, the Bible says this. Jesus Christ sits on the right hand of the Father, and what does He do? Intercedes for me and you.
Amen.
Hey, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
I tell you what, you get to thinking about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it does for you. Man, that'll make you happy today. That'll make you happy. Hey, I'm saved because of my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm saved because I'm trusting Him. Hey, listen, I learned a long time ago, I can't trust Eddie Hicks. I trust Jesus Christ. Yes, I ain't got to trust Eddie Hicks. I just got to trust Jesus Christ. That's why I'm saved. Understanding the death and resurrection, I want to tell you what today, that will make you happy. Hey, I'm going to close with this illustration. Hey, you know the funniest thing about kids? Man, you'll do anything to make your kids happy. Most of you, we do anything. Man, do anything to make your kids happy. Little fellow there at the house, we got him and his third birthday was coming up. Kid next door, he's got one of these things from Walmart, one of these trucks. He's got a Jeep truck, and it's an electric truck. And that little fellow of ours, he looks at that Jeep truck. Man, that's a pretty nice Jeep truck, you know? He wants him a Jeep truck. We went to Walmart, and they make a Suburban four-wheel drive truck. It'll run smack over that Jeep truck. He drives a four-wheel Suburban truck. crack addicted, black as a piece of coal. You got the nicest truck in town in our neighborhood.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we used to pastor our church. I hate to say it. We used to pastor our church and drive cars that cost less than that boy's truck. We just want to see him happen. Man, it was worth it when he started dancing around, you know. Hey, with all his problems, medical problems and all, didn't take nothing away from his rhythm. Man, he can dance. God wants you happy. Paul said, I just make myself happy. Hey, it's not that everything's going good and everything's great. It's not the circumstance. It's because of who I am. I'm God's child. And it don't matter when things are going bad. The world might not understand it, but I'm coming through. You might look at me and wonder how I can do it, but I'm telling you, God's bringing me through. You might not understand what I'm going through, but God does. I'm coming through. I can just make myself happy when I think about all the promises that God's given to me. I think myself happy. Hey, you want to know where your power is? It's your joy. Whether you're happy. God wants you happy.